I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes!
Yes! The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
What's up, everybody? Welcome on in. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. We are down here in Nephi, Utah, the Juab County Fairgrounds for Extreme Bull Riding. Starts in a couple hours here, so you want to get your tickets. Extreme Bull Riding at the Ute Stampede Rodeo, utestampederodeo.com. So we've enjoyed our time down here. As always, beautiful night, and we were worried because we were like, oh, man, the wind's kind of kicking up, but this is, like, beautiful, Scott. We finally got to the point where it feels a little bit like fall. You know what else feels like fall? Friggin' football, dude.
It's fall weather for sure.
How about a perfect weather day that is forecasted for Utah and Oregon State tomorrow at a noon kick at Rice-Eccles Stadium? That's where we're going to start things off here on the program. Let's kick it off with the cut right here at the top of the hour.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by, as always, and the show brought to you by G2G Bars. Preservative free, no additives. These are delightful protein bars that you want to try. If you're doing the meal replacement thing, I'm telling you, there's nothing perfect. There's nothing more perfect than a G2G bar in your refrigerated section of your Associated Foods, Costco, Holiday Oil, Maverick, etc. So give it a shot. Scott and I both sign off on these things. They are delightful. Scott, let me see here. Tomorrow, Oregon State and Utah. You told me on the way down, you said, look, I've been watching this Utah or this Oregon State film, and what you particularly watched that Oregon State USC game. I think people who read the box score like I did and didn't see much more than just a handful of highlights of that game. I saw the extended highlights of that game, and I thought, you know what? Man, their defense looks really good. What am I seeing about this Oregon State team, or what are you seeing about this Oregon State team that makes them gettable tomorrow? I think that Utah's in a really good spot because they're coming off of a massively emotional, almost program-changing win over USC that turns into a close loss to the Trojans. What are we getting tomorrow at Rice-Eccles with Utah and Oregon State?
We got to remember something about their game, Oregon State's game against USC. The quarterback threw four interceptions. I mean, in that game, and they were painful ones too. And
Oregon State's quarterback,
Oregon State's
yes.
Chance Nolan, who plays great. I mean, he's really
he had a game last year against Utah.
Yeah, he's really turned into a really good guy. He can run the ball against you, but he typically throws the ball pretty decent. And you know, a couple of the interceptions were tipped, and one a guy just made a great play on, and the other one he just didn't throw very well. But you know, he's a good quarterback, and he can make plays, and he can beat you. And he Utah a year ago. He did an excellent job. What they did against USC is USC just didn't get a lot of big explosive plays down the field
that they had been getting all year.
You know, you'd see them and they'd have catches and runs and they'd have a lot of these big plays, and so very athletic in the secondary and do a lot of different things. You know, show you a lot of different looks and they match up well with you know that from an athletic standpoint with USC. They just did a tremendous job. I mean, USA was able to run the football, but they just really made them go all the way down the field, march all the way down the field to score touchdowns, and they just did an excellent job of holding USC in check. Now the other side of it is they also were great at getting pressure on Caleb Williams. I mean, he was kind of running around for his life a little bit, and they were with just four man pressure, you know, so you can play coverage and you get pressure on a quarterback, and that's a recipe for success defensively. Quite frankly, they should have beat USC. They played better than USC, and they just had the turnovers, and it just really hurt. But they're a very, very good football team.
Four turnovers, and they ended up losing, I think, by a field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 7-3.
And it was late, you know.
USC had 3 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was 7-3. Oregon State was leading this thing, and you thought, USC has 3 points. Oregon State's dialed something up special here. Jonathan Smith is doing something different with this team, and that is they've turned a corner as a program. They ended up with a winning record last season. Of course, their biggest win of the season was probably that Utah game at Oregon State last year. And Utah remembers this one. I mean, this is nothing to sneeze at here, too, because Utah does treat this like you guys beat us last year. We made some mistakes at your place. You guys capitalized. They scored 42 points on the Utes last year. So tell me how much that factors in. They keep saying, oh, yeah, this is a revenge game, and I always roll my eyes at that. But these players really do take it seriously that they want to get this one back because they didn't get it last year up there in Corvallis.
So it's not only the players, but it's the coaches. And quite frankly, I think it's part of why their success at Utah, because there's this you know, there's a pride in how you play football and how your programs run and what you do and the identity of your team. And Utah's a tough physical team that's going to run the football first. They're going to play great defense, and they didn't do either of those things very well. You know, they didn't stop the run. They didn't play that great defense. And that doesn't sit well with anyone. It doesn't sit well with Kyle Whittingham. I mean, you know, you talk about Kyle Whittingham being a tough, very competitive person, but Morgan Scalley is about as competitive a person as you'll ever find.
Sure, yep.
And he takes a lot of pride in what happens there. So not happy about it. And they, you know, Utah wasn't happy about its game against Florida at the beginning of the year, and you saw the turnaround in this defense and what happened. So the revenge factor or you know, kind of redeeming yourself factor of this game is certainly a real thing. Should be a really good crowd. It's at home. It's going to be an electric environment, and it's one of those games where there's nothing in Utah that says we're overlooking Oregon State. They know Oregon State. It's got everybody's full attention, and they know that they're going to have to bring it and play a tough football game in order to win the game. It all starts in the trenches, and I think that's what Jonathan Smith has done at Oregon. You know, he's been a guy who they are tough in the trenches. It showed up in their game against USC. They were great in the trenches against the offense of USC, and they did a nice job, you know, running the ball, and they're probably one of the best teams in the conference at their up front front seven play.
If you were to kind of estimate here, somebody showing up and everybody out like it's a big loss. This is an NFL caliber guy,
probably your best player. I mean, really, on offense, it's probably the best.
But listen,
player.
On the way down, we were talking about this, and you said, hey, but I'll tell you how excited you should be about Dalton Kincaid as a tight end. And when it comes to being a playmaker, it's a guy, no slouch, you know. This is a guy who it wasn't just – he's not barely getting some reps because Brant Keithy's been in there. He's been part of that two tight end set that's been so huge for him. What they're asking for is for there to be a Dalton Kincaid and another tight end – who appears to be this Yaspin character who is really, really good. I mean, just another long list of good tight ends that Utah has.
So Brant Keithy is a hybrid player. So he's kind of a wide receiver. He's kind of a tight end, kind of a little bit of fullback, kind of a little bit of offensive line. I mean, really, but he's a super athletic guy that's just very versatile. They don't have a guy that's Brant Keithy right now, and I don't think and they're okay with that. So when you replace Brant Keithy, it has to be with multiple guys.
Right.
Thomas Yasmin's more of a tight end. You know, he's more in the line of Dalton Kincaid than he is Brant Keithy. And I'm not so sure that Brant Keithy was more of a wide receiver than he really was tight end. So you're going to have that Thomas Yasmin production, but you're also going to have more production in the wide receiver area. And Utah's got a lot of folks to line up to do that. You've got Solomon Enos, you've got Devon Vele, you've got Money Parks, you've got some other Makai Cope, you've got some other guys that potentially can have it, who, you know, saw some reasonable action last week in the game. I mean, he's got probably the top end speed of anyone on the team, and he's a guy that they'll figure out ways to get him involved in what's happening. You have Cam Rising. You know, Cam Rising is a weapon, and so you're going to see more production there. You've got a lot of really, really solid running backs. There's plenty of opportunities for people to fill in the gap left by Brant Keithy, and what it means, it just means other people are going to get an expanded role in the offense and more opportunities. The thing that concerns me is that formation with Brant Keithy, Dalton Kincaid was Utah's best running formation a year ago, and it's been that same best running personnel that they've had this year, and that's the thing that's going to be, you know, can Thomas Yasmin fill in that blocking responsibility that Brant Keithy was actually really good at?
If you're one of those people who, you know, has watched this Utah team kind of progress through the weeks, we've had the same question. I mean, the sample size we have is four games, right? I mean, when you look at it, you go, all right, Utah's 3-1 after four games. And there have been times, though, that you and I, even this week, have said, not really sure who this Utah team is. So the question is what do you want to see this week to be able to say, okay, I think we now know who this Utah team is, or that we're getting a little bit closer to seeing who Utah is as a football team?
Well, I would love to see Utah start out with some tempo. They did it last week against Arizona State. It was effective. It really got Cam Rising going earlier in the game. It got a lot of people more involved, and you're going to have more people involved because of the absence of Brant Keithy. And so getting whoever is going to get more production an opportunity to touch the football earlier is going to be a good thing. But you really have to, if you're Utah, you got to see, can we stop the run? And that was a thing that was a problem a year ago. Utah's been amazing at it these last three football games. I mean, you talk about just dominating performances. Now, they've been all against lesser opponents. One has been a conference opponent, Arizona State, but that Arizona State's a dumpster fire. So I want to see a really good performance against a good team. And that you know, it feels like you had a really athletic, really tough opponent at the first of the year. Right, they had athletes, and then every opponent, you kind of dropped at the bottom of the barrel, and you're just working your way out of the barrel. So SUU was not good. San Diego State was better. Arizona State was better, and now Oregon State is better. And you just want to see that Utah play better against you know, good competition that'll get better and better, because they're going to go to UCLA next week, and they're going to play USC the week after that. So it's really to show up against a quality opponent.
This weekend, you're at home. You get a lot of folks who are looking at this one, and they say, okay, this was one we saw on the schedule, not just as being a revenge game, but Oregon State's on the rise. Jonathan Smith does something different with this team. What do you like that Oregon State does that could be a problem for Utah tomorrow? I mean, facing off against this team, you know that they're going to be tough, which is – you know, as you've said before, is sometimes a little bit of a backhanded compliment, because it kind of shows yeah, maybe that means you don't have as many of the athletes as a USC or somebody else would have. And Utah's been compared to that sometimes. These are two teams who probably their biggest reputation in this conference is, oh, Oregon State, they're tough and gritty. Utah, toughest team you're going to face all year, one of the toughest, grittiest teams. Kyle Whittingham gets his guys up. So what actually makes you a little bit nervous about a game like this with the Beavers coming into town?
Well, I think the thing that makes me nervous, because I really think Utah will show up and execute offensively. They're gonna, it plays into the strength of Utah, run, play action. Those will be big plays that you can get against Oregon State. Oregon State's going to try to run the ball. That's been a strength of Utah for pretty much most of the year. So you feel comfortable about that. But the thing that really makes me nervous above anything else is special teams. And that was the difference in a game a year ago. This last week against Arizona State, Utah had a couple of kickoff cover errors. You saw a little bit of the there might be a soft spot in some of that. Oregon State blocked a punt a year ago that really turned the whole game around, turned the whole complexity of the game around. And I think it's, you know, it's one of those that Utah really special teams wise, and Oregon State's pretty decent team. So that gives me some pause for concern, and it'll be interesting to see how that is. The other thing, it's the time of the game. You know, having it at noon.
Yeah, you always talk about that.
Is everybody up and ready to go? And does it take a minute for, you know, for everyone to get out there and get excited? And so, you know, that's the thing for me that I guess is a little bit of a concern, because this is a big game. This is a really important game. Oregon State is, you know, they had a tough game, but they have a chance to redeem themselves, and they have confidence because they beat Utah a year ago, so they know they can beat them, and it's going to be a dogfight.
One of the things that we talked about too was Cam Rising, and the next step this season, right? It's not just the next step in his career, next step in who this guy is or whatever. It's the next step this season. What's the next step you want to see out of Cam Rising, a guy who has had a really, really nice year so far, but it hasn't really had a breakout game necessarily? Is that something that you even care about if somebody has a quote-unquote breakout game? And is the opportunity there, because everybody talks about how good these DBs are?
There have been a couple of times this year where Cam – throwing the football hasn't been totally comfortable in the pocket, and it's kind of like, do I run, do I step up in the pocket? And he's been a little bit indecisive, which has caused him to kind of have some errant throws. You know, his feet aren't completely set, he's not really looking, you know, that comfortable, and it's always happened early in the football game. So I just like to see Cam Rising get a little bit more comfortable and really kind of be firing on all cylinders from the get-go.
Here's what we're going to do.
It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.